God, we thank you this morning to be together. We thank you that it's a day where we can reflect on moms and how great it is to have moms and all that they offer and all that they do to make families amazing. And ultimately, they reflect you, God. They reflect the love that you have. And as we talk this morning, let's really be in touch with what you want in a family. And this morning, as we talk about everybody participates, everybody helps out. Yeah. Let all of us drink deeply. That would be your heart, and that we want to embrace that for our lives. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. So, if you walked away, any takeaway, this is the takeaway from today. Every family member contributes. Every family member helps out. That's true. Hopefully, in a physical family, and it's true in God's family. The heart of God is for these two things to be true, okay? And is it because God can't do it himself? No. God doesn't need us to contribute and help out, just like moms don't really need the kids to contribute and help out, but they want them to.
Right.
And even though God can do it all himself, mm-hmm. what he wants is for us to contribute and help out. That's what he wants. You with me there? Go to the next slide. You know, in the Bible, I looked up, in more than 200 places, you see the phrase, all the people. All the people. Shows up in more than 200 different places. Sometimes it shows up in not great ways. All the people lost their mind and did something wrong. Okay, so that happens occasionally, but more often than that, all the people has to do with God's family being unified on God's page.
Yeah.
And that's what God's looking for, is God's looking for all his people to be on his page. In this scenario, this is back when Moses was around, and Moses would go meet with God in a special tent, the tabernacle with God, and when Moses went to go meet with God, all the people would stand outside of their tents and watch Moses go meet with God. So the whole community was involved. Even though Moses was the one that went to see God sort of face to face, everybody was participating in that kind of event. You with me? Go to the next one. In Joshua, at the end of Joshua, you know, Joshua's kind of doing a recap of what God had done through his people at this point in time. And you know, they took over the promised land. And Joshua says to all the people, all of God's people, that this great victory, they're all together. He says, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River, worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates, led him throughout Canaan, gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and he goes for like another 20 verses, kind of painting the history of what brought him to this moment. And then it says, the people said, we will serve the Lord, our God, and obey him. And just think about the power of the moment. All the people assemble, all the people remember what God's done, and all the people say together, we're going to serve God.
Amen.
That's a powerful moment.
Yeah.
When everybody does it, when everybody's unified, and we see that here in this moment. Go to the next one. Nehemiah. We looked through Nehemiah in the month of April. We talked about Nehemiah, and they were building this wall. And then and after they built the wall, all the people, all of God's people, came together as one. Why? To hear Ezra read from the book of the law, to hear God's word. All the people together as one person. On the same page, same mindset, same heart, same devotion to God. All the people. You guys with me here, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is what God wants.
Yep.
This is what God looks for. This is what God, it makes God happy to look down, just like it would make a mom happy. It's Mom's Day, you know. Gods and moms have some things in common, obviously. And one of them is, you know, any mom that I have ever known, they have a heart for all their children.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, thankfully, any moms that, you know, that I really love child number one and two, but number three, you know, I don't know any moms like that. The mom, all the moms I know, they want all their children together, all their children to do well, all their children to be unified.
Yeah.
And so, and that's really the same as what God wants. Go to the next slide. God commanded something in the Old Testament. He commanded this thing called a tithe. It shows up in Leviticus chapter 27. God says, here's the commandment. You need to give a tithe, which is 10% of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees. It belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Whoever would redeem any of their tithe must add a fifth of the value to it. Every tithe of the herd and the flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod will be holy to the Lord. No one may pick out the good from the bad or make any substitution. If anyone does make a substitution, both the animal and its substitute become holy and cannot be redeemed. God gave this command to his people in the Old Testament. He said, I'm commanding you to give one-tenth of your income.
Yeah.
Now, I think most of us know about this command. Mm-hmm. What I want us to think about a little bit is why. Why command that? Go to the next slide. You know, it talks about every tenth sheep that comes under the shepherd's rod. I've heard someone say that, and I don't know if this is how it went down, but someone suggested this is how it went down. As far as how do you take your sheep in a line, and they come marching through, and the shepherd drops his rod every tenth sheep, and then someone takes a little die and puts a dot of dye on that sheep. So every tenth sheep, you stop, you drop the rod, you put a little dye dot. That one is now holy. It's set apart. It belongs to God. And then the sheep keep coming, and every tenth one, the rod comes down, a little dot goes on the sheep. That goes to God. Imagine your income. If it was marching before you, every dollar and every tenth dollar, a stamp, gets stamped holy. That goes over to God. And then the dollars keep coming, and then every tenth one, holy, holy, holy. And they just get pushed over here, set apart for God. Okay? That would kind of be today's version of what this would have been. Why? Why do this? Why did God command this? Because he doesn't know, he can't provide for himself? Is that why he commanded that? That's ridiculous, right? God doesn't have any problem providing for himself. Go to the next slide there. So why? Why did he do this? Why did he command everyone? He didn't command some people to give a tenth. He commanded all his people, all to give. Why? It kind of goes back to, you know, what we were talking about with that skit. Go to the next slide there. God wants every family member to contribute. God wants all his children to participate. He doesn't want some of his children to participate. He wants all of his children to participate. Because that's what family is. You know, there's a practical side of why there was a tenth. It took care of the Levites. They didn't have a land inheritance and that kind of thing. But in addition to the practical side, it's the heart of God. I want everybody, we're a family. And in a family, everybody helps out. Everybody participates. We kind of see this show up in David's life. Go to the next slide. God and mom say every family member contributes. You know, kind of like those things, you know, like 10... Someone's, you know, experts say such and such. You know, God and moms, that's what they say. 2 Samuel chapter 24. What's going on here is David had just he messed up, counted the fighting men, did something he shouldn't have done, and he's talking to God about it and basically repenting and getting back on God's page. And God says, okay, here's what I want you to do. He says, I want you to go and set up an altar for me on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. So David is going to reconcile himself with God by building this altar. And he shows up at this guy's place, Araunah, and it says, and so Araunah sees David coming. He knows that David's the king. And he says, "Your Majesty, I'm going to give all you want to build this altar. I'm going to give it all to the king. May the Lord God accept you." But David said, "No. No, I insist on paying you for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen and paid 50 shekels of silver for them. You see, David had an opportunity. He was going to reconcile him and God. And somebody said, "You know what? You got to build an altar. God wants you to build an altar. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you what you need to build the altar." Sounds like a pretty sweet deal. The only problem is David, his heart, he was known as a man after God's own heart. The problem was David knew, I'm not going to reconcile me and God by doing nothing on my part. To offer God a tribute out of my devotion to him that cost me nothing? No. No, no, I won't do that. I insist on paying for it. Yeah. I'm going to participate. I'm going to contribute. I'm not going to take a freebie here. See, he could have, but that's not what he wanted to do. Because he understood God. He was a man after God's own heart. He understood what God, how God thought. And how God thinks is, I want you to contribute. I want you to participate. I want you to bring something to the table. Not because I need it, but because it's good for you. Yeah. It's good for your heart. It's good for you to participate. And so a lot of things with God, he calls us to do a lot of things because it's good for us. Yeah. And it's partly, that's how you know what family is. God's able to do everything that he's called us to do by himself. He gave a command. He said, "Go make disciples of all nations." He gave that command to his followers in the New Testament. Why? Because he can't get the job done? Oh, no. No, he can get the job done.
Yeah.
He can get the message out better than we ever could. But he gave it to us. He said, "I'm going to give you this. I'm going to ask you to participate with me in a dream that I have where all people on the face of the earth get to know the truth and get to understand how to get out of darkness and into the light. And it's an amazing thing. And I want you to participate in that." Yeah. I could do it all, but I'm not gonna.
Right. Right.
Because we're a family.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to do it.
Yeah.
Me and you. I'm not just handing it to you and I'm being hands off.
Right.
No, we're going to do it together.
Right.
Kind of like that skit, right? The first version, mom's doing it all. Okay, that's not how God is. The second version, they're doing it together.
Yep.
The mom's doing it and the three-year-old is doing it. It's like, what? Well, what can he do? He can do something.
Right.
He can do something. Everybody here can contribute and participate with God.
Yeah.
We can all do something. We can all help out. We can all contribute. We can all participate. And that's what God wants. He wants all the people to participate together.
Yeah.
That's what family's all about. You know, when you participate, don't you get, isn't it a richer experience when you participate than when you spectate?
Yeah.
You know, if you've ever been on a sports team, the team is closer than the spectators who watch the team. Because the team practices together and labors together and works through issues together and fights together and encourage each other, and they become a family of sorts. But the spectators, it's a whole different experience. You can apply that, if you're not a sports person, you can apply that to any kind of a group you've been in. The military, sometimes military call each other brothers. A band of brothers, right? Why? Because there's the same elements where everybody participates. Mm-hmm. Everybody helps out. Nobody gets a free pass.
Right.
Is it our? Do we understand that about God, and do we translate it to what, how we think, and how we live, and how we operate? You can come to church. Church can be a spectator sport,
yeah.
Or you can participate.
Yeah.
What's our mindset? What's God looking for? Is God looking for, man, I just want all the seats full. And I just want the attendance. I just want all the seats full. And if all the seats are full, then I am so happy. Is that what God would say?
No.
If you know God at all, that is not what He would say. God would say, I want all the seats full. And I want them full with people who have a heart engaged to participate with me.
Yeah.
I want you to come to church and be involved. I want you to come to church and I want you to sing because you want to connect with me through song. I want you to come and you listen because you want to connect with me through hearing my word. I want you to come and fellowship with one another because you care about the person sitting next to you.
Yeah.
You have a love, a compassion for the people near you.
Yeah.
I want you to reach out and meet someone new you haven't met before because you care about that person like I do, as God would be saying. Participate.
Yeah.
Don't spectate.
Yeah.
That is what God is looking for. Everybody contributes. Everybody, God has equipped everybody to bring something to the table.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yep.
From the youngest to the oldest, from the most talented to the lesser talented. You're like, well, which one am I? I don't want to get into that. Okay? I don't want to compare talents. I just know we all have talents.
That's right.
Everybody here has got talents.
Yeah.
Let's use them. You know, let's engage those talents that you've been given by God because you have been given them.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of where you're going to use them.
Right.
Or if you're going to bury them. That's a whole other parable, isn't it? We got talents that we can use for God. We have talents we can use not for God. And then we have talents that if we're just kind of lazy, we bury them and we don't use them at all. God doesn't want the bury or the not use. God wants the use it, engage it, make it mean something.
Yeah.
Let it affect this world.
Right.
Let it change this world for the better.
Yep.
Go to the next slide. God and mom say every family member helps out. You know, Ephesians, let's go over to Ephesians if you want to flip there, or you can catch up. I'll catch up to this verse here in a second. Ephesians chapter 4. Bless you. A lot of blessings going around on that sneeze.
We're family.
We are. We're all going to be exposed to that germ. It's floating around the air. It's making its way. It'll be in the back pretty soon. Ephesians 4, verse 11. It says, it was God who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, for a reason, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You know, in that section of Scripture, there's a number of places where you see everybody, every ligament, each part does its work. Not some parts do their job. Everybody has a part to do something, to contribute. Everybody helps out. Amen. You know, now there are some roles in the church. God says some have certain roles. Some are preachers, pastors like myself. Not everybody has that role. That doesn't make me any better than anybody else. It just means I have a specific role.
Yeah.
And it also doesn't mean that I do it all because I have a specific role. I just have a specific role. And then we all do something, whether we have a specific role or an unspecific role.
Right.
Everybody has a part to play. Some have a specific part, but that doesn't really negate the fact that everybody has a part. Each part does its work. You know, if you take the kitchen analogy, and you got, let's say you have multiple kids, and they're at different ages, let's just say 3, 5, and 7, is a 3-year-old going to wash the knives after dinner? I hope not. Yeah, I hope not. Now, if he can, that is one advanced 3-year-old right there. Okay? You probably don't have a 3-year-old washing the knives. Why? He's not ready for that.
Right.
Or she. But what could they do? They can carry a dish from the table to the kitchen. They can do that.
Yep.
They can carry something from the table to the trash can. Yep. They could do something. A 5-year-old could do a little bit more. Maybe a 5-year-old can actually wash a dish or two. And then mom or dad rewashes them because they didn't do a good job. But you let them do it anyway.
Right.
Why? Because it gets them some confidence that they can do more.
Yep.
Is it? Would it be easier to do it yourself? Would it be quicker to do it yourself?
Yes.
Yep. But would it be better to do it yourself? No. God could do everything He asks us better and quicker.
Yeah, right.
But He doesn't do it Himself. Because He wants to participate with us in doing it. He can disciple everybody in the church Himself better than somebody in this room can disciple one another. He can share the gospel better than all of us can share the gospel. He can come up with more money to build for a building fund than we can ever come up with. But He's saying, let's do this together.
Yeah.
It's a little bit slower. And I'll have to clean a few dishes that you already cleaned because you didn't do a very good job, but that's okay because you'll get better at it. And so you go ahead and do your part and then I'll come in behind you and clean up whatever wasn't quite like it should have been, and then you'll learn, and then the next time you'll clean a little bit better, and that'll be and then we can pass it on to the next person. Each part does its work. You know, Haley, she's not 3, granddaughter, she's 2. And we have dinner together a decent amount. You know, whenever we can work it out, we have dinner, the Marvins, the Dietrichs, Dee and I. And we'll clear the table. And, hey, Haley, here's a plate. Go take it in and give it to Daddy. Mm-hmm. And she's happy to do it.
Yep.
She doesn't know it's work.
Right.
She thinks it's fun. It's brilliant.
Yep.
Make a chore seem like fun when they're 2, and they won't catch on until they're about 7. But by then, it's already a pattern. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Everybody does their part.
That's right.
What is she learning? She's learning that everybody helps out.
Right.
Now, sometimes she might carry a dish in and drop it.
Right.
She might carry a half-full cup of milk, and you're like, oh my gosh, this could end. Mike, this would be more work. Get halfway to the kitchen, boop. Clean up and high five. And, but you know what? You let her do it. Because you're encouraging the family. You're encouraging that we're doing this together. Everybody participates.
That's right. Yeah.
Go to the next slide. 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you, not some of you, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Does this sound like everybody has a gift to use?
Yeah.
That's what it's saying. That's what God's saying. He's saying everybody's got one. I've made sure of it. Everybody's got a gift. And I want you to use it. And I want you to use it not just on you.
Right.
I want you to use it to serve other people. You can use some of your gift on you. But you need to use some of your gift for other people. I didn't just give you gifts so that you could sit back and enjoy all your little, you know, put in your bubble and make your bubble better. I gave you gifts to help other people be blessed. Use whatever gift you have. You know, how many people have helped somebody move? Has everybody helped somebody move? Pretty much. Who's somebody that, well, I don't want to say it that way. Let's say somebody has a lot of stuff. I'm going to say, who's got a garage full of stuff, right? Somebody that doesn't throw anything out. You know, they just got stuff. You know what I'm saying? I'll just say it's me. Okay, I got stuff, okay? You come in my garage, and there's stuff in there. You look at my, I've got a deer hunting section, okay, that it's a section of the garage, okay? There's like 8 deer stands, okay? And with every deer stand, which weigh 20 pounds apiece, there's climbing sticks. So there's 8 of those, which weigh 30 pounds apiece. So that's 50 pounds per, and there's 8 of, there's 400 pounds of just deer stuff, right? Okay? And that's not even all the deer stuff. That's just some of the deer stuff. So I'm going to move and I'm going to say, hey, help me move. And all of you are going to be like, I'm busy. Help me move. And if, let's say, 2 people come and help me move, me and 2 other people. Not just my garage, my whole house. That's going to be a burden. Say, well, if you didn't have so much stuff, it wouldn't be a burden. And that's probably true. And I, you know, we work on downsizing. If there's 100 people available to help, and 10%, only 10% are willing to help, that move will happen, but it'll be a labor. But what if everybody helped out? What if everybody came? Is it a burden then? You know, there's an old saying, many hands make light work. You know, we get to see this in action with the Mosses move. Just so happens their unload coincided with 19 campus students being in town. You're like, talk about hitting the jackpot. And not only that, Peter offered up their labor.
Yeah.
It's like hitting the jackpot twice. They're in town, and Peter had the great idea to say, we should go serve the Mosses and unload their truck, all 19 of us.
Wow.
And those who loaded the truck were like, amen, hallelujah. The choir of angels were singing. That truck got unloaded, I don't know, 35 minutes or something crazy.
Wow.
We couldn't even hand stuff off the truck fast enough. You turn around, it's gone. You turn around, it's gone. It's like, where's all this stuff going? It's just disappearing. Because everybody helped out. There's a big difference between a percentage doing something and everybody doing something. You know, in God's house, should it be, there's a saying in business, that 20% do all the work. Not all, most of the work. Anybody heard this?
Yeah.
The 20% get just about everything done, and you just kind of write off 80%. Is that how it should be in God's family? Should we accept that, quote, reality in God's family?
No.
Well, the 20% will get it done. See, I think that just makes God sad, if that were true. I think he would be so sad about that. Where's the other 80%? Aren't all of them my children? Aren't all of them in my family? Can't all of us work together? You know, our target in the family of God is 100%.
Yep.
100% of everybody that's a child of God is engaged on God's page. Not 20%, not 30, not even 90. 100%. If we call ourselves a Christian, let's be engaged. Let's be fully engaged. Let's use our talents. Let's do our part. Why? Because it makes God happy.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the next slide. So ask yourself, what can I give? How can I contribute? What can I do to help? How can I add to God's family? There's a way. There's multiple ways. And I'm not saying that those in this room aren't helping, because many of us do many things. But there's so many needs that would be benefited by 100% participation. There's Kids Kingdom. You know, that's an endless labor of love. You know, some of us enjoy teaching. Some of us don't. But you know what? That the kids behind this wall, that's the next generation of believers.
That's right. Yep.
And when we all help out, if it's our turn to help out back there, and we feel like, gosh, it's tough for me because I miss out on the adult fellowship, and that's a challenge for me. And we understand that, those who have taught, and I understand it, even though I'm not usually back there. But we can, if we all do it together, then it's less of a burden on the few.
Right.
And it's not just Kids Kingdom. It's every need that there is. It's going and making disciples. It's giving financially. It's every possible thing we do to share God's dream. And if every single one of us can answer this question in a positive way, that's a great thing. That's a great thing that honors God and makes God happy. Go to the next slide. You know what? Every one of us can pray.
Yep.
We have a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday prayer focus. Are all of us doing that? Or are 20% of us doing that? I bet all of us can do it.
Yeah.
I'd like to encourage all of us to do it. All of us to pray together every Monday for the same focus things that we have, that we've highlighted. Everybody can give some amount financially to God every week. Everybody can do that. Everyone can build up God's house in some way, encouragement, sharing good news with somebody. Everybody can help somebody else know God. Let's make sure we're participating and not spectating as a child of God. And let's watch the power of God be unleashed when all the people work as one to share God's dream. Let's stand and sing.